You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this teaching from Pastor Mark. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
So I've been talking to you about ministering along these lines, if I were the devil. And so we've been just talking about the different 2 Corinthians teaches us in chapter 2, verse 11, that we're not ignorant. Everybody say, I'm not ignorant. Aren't you glad you're not ignorant? Amen. And don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant of what? The devil's devices. And so he has devices. Now, you know, the church can fall into two ditches. Either one ditch is, which is probably the ditch that I grew up in, that, you know, everything that happens is just what God wanted, and it is just what it is. And really, there was never any talk about an enemy. There was no talk about the devil doing anything. It just was what it was. And so today, a lot of people don't want to acknowledge that there is an enemy, that everything doesn't just happen, that there is an enemy. And that enemy comes to do what? Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief does what? He comes to steal. He's trying to kill, and he wants to destroy. And so we have to so if you don't know that, then you're in a ditch of whatever happens, happens, and you don't believe, people don't believe they have any power in their life. It is just what it is. And then the other extreme, which would maybe happen more in our circles, is everything's the devil. The devil did this, bless his holy name, you know, stuff like that. I mean, you know, you can get so extreme in the devil, you just want to be cautious of that, because you don't want to talk too much about the devil, and you don't want to talk about what the devil's doing all the time. All right? So we want to make sure that you understand the Spirit of God is wanting you to know that the enemy does have devices, he does have tactics, and you've got to be aware of them. And remember what the Lord said to me, and he talks to me like I would talk to you. He said to me, the devil's not playing. And he doesn't want, and he said about us, the church, he said, and I wish you'd quit. Turn to your neighbor and say, I ain't playing. Now, if you don't know what I ain't playing means, everybody in the room know what I ain't playing means. In other words, I'm not fooling. I choose not to fool around. I don't know. I can't talk that way. I ain't messing with you. I'm not going to be messed with. And I ain't playing. And so we have to take that attitude today. And so we just talked to you about a number of things, and I'm not going to review them. There, you can get our sermons on the app. You can go to cwol.org. You can get all those things. And obviously, I've ministered 5 weeks on this, and there's more to talk about. But I really felt like to take a little twist. And today, because God ain't playing and Jesus wasn't playing, Colossians 2:15 says, and Jesus made a show of the devil openly, triumphing over him in it. It is his death, Jesus' death, his burial, his resurrection and ascension. And then the Bible is full of telling you, especially in the epistles, of what your arsenal is full of. I'm about to remind you, many of you in this room understand, and maybe some of you in this room have never heard this before, but you have a whole arsenal of weapons, and you don't have to wait for the devil to attack. You just got to assume he is going to attack. And so what you have to know is, now you know what his devices are, but you need to know what your weapons are. You need to know that your arsenal is full and you're a winner. Amen. Hallelujah. You're a winner. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm an overcomer in this life. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I always win. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Amen. Come on, I'm more than a conqueror. You more than a conqueror? How do we do that, though? How do we do that with the devil who wants to deceive us, who wants to get us in envy and strife, who wants to get seed down in our heart? What are we going to do? So we're going to look at it this way. The first thing you and I need to understand is found in, you can go ahead and turn to James 4. But we're told in James 4:7, submit yourself therefore unto God and resist the devil. I want to give you a definition of resist. Everybody say, I resist, all right? Well, who are we resisting? We're resisting the devil. And when you resist the devil, you resist what he's sending. So you got to know what's of God and what's of your enemy. So when the devil sends a fiery dart at you, you've got to know it's a fiery dart because you have to resist it. Come on, say it again. I'm resisting. And so what does it mean to resist? It means to erect a force of opposition, to exert oneself with force or at the effect of something, to refuse to accept, to refuse to accept or be changed by something or someone. I refuse to accept. I ain't taking that. I ain't playing. See, when you know what's yours, you can learn to resist, but you have to know what to resist in order to resist. And so, first thing I want to say, James 4:7 says, submit yourself therefore unto God. Now, this is a Sunday morning at 9 a.m., and I'm going to assume that everybody in this room knows how to submit to God. How do you submit to God? That was weak. I'm going to assume everybody knows how to submit. Are you submitted to God? What does that mean? Well, I'm submitted to Him as my Father. I'm submitted to Jesus as my Savior. I'm submitted to the Holy Ghost when He deals with me. I'm submitted. In order to be submitted to God, I submit myself to the Word. I'm not a hearer only, but I'm a doer thereof. Come on, everybody shout, do it. You got to do it, right? That means I'm submitted to it if I'm doing it. When I find something in the Word, I do it. I'm a doer thereof. Amen? And then the Bible talks about being submitted to the elders over you. Then it says, submit yourself therefore to God. So I say it like this. You can't resist until you submit. Amen? So don't try to resist the devil and his works until you've fully submitted yourself to God. Because the devil just like stick his tongue out you and say, I ain't moving. Because absolutely the devil knows that you have to be submitted to God in order for this to work. And so if you tell the devil to leave or you resist something that's not working, the first place I always look at, am I submitted to God? Am I submitted to His Word? Am I doing what He told me to do? Amen. And when I am submitted to God, I can boldly say, I can stand before God, I can stand before the enemy, I can stand before circumstances, and they have to obey. Because if I submit, then I can resist, and the devil will always have to run from you as in terror. Amen. Amen. Let's look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist. Everybody say, I resist. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So, let me tell you this, that everybody has to deal with an enemy. There's no one. You can't live a perfect life where the devil's not going to try to hunt you down. And so you have to be ready for that. That's why we told you, if I were the devil, if I told you what he's doing, his devices, now I'm giving you your weapons. Your first weapon is you submit to God. You can resist. Anything the devil ever throws your way, it can be resisted. It can be resisted. It can be resisted. It must be resisted. It should be resisted. You ought to resist a cold like you resist cancer. You ought to resist, I can't go to the mall when I want to, like you ought to resist, I can't pay my bills. I'm telling you, if you don't resist the small stuff, the big stuff will knock you out. I was going to say something else. It will. I mean, you know, you can't wait till the big stuff. This is not a big deal. I can put up with this. You should never put up with the devil. You should never put up with sickness. You should never put up with lack. You should never put up with a mess going on in your house, in your marriage. You should never be put up with just anything that is of the enemy. You should never put up with it. And what I mean by never put up with it, you always should resist it. It's how you grow your faith. Because it says, resist him how? Steadfast, what? In the faith. In other words, if I never resist anything that, you know, it's like, I could go to the weight room and doing weights is resistance. So, You know, if I've never resisted 50 pounds, I'm definitely not going to resist 400 pounds. And yet, you all know that. And it's funny because you all imagine me in the gym trying to do a squat 400 and it's not happening. But in the same thing, if I've never resisted a cold, I'm not saying it can't be done, but then if something bigger comes that you're more afraid of, that they say there's no cure for, you've never resisted anything. So don't wait to start resisting something big. Don't wait just to resist adultery. Resist avoiding the appearance of evil. You understand? You got to start everything. So you got to understand. That's the best way to do it. And then how do we resist? Well, you know, there's sometimes, though, when it seems so overwhelming, when the devil's throwing more things at you. So I want to give you part of your weaponry. Can anybody use the power of God? In the day we live in, we need to understand you're not resisting on your own. Because I think in times past, people, I got to resist this urge to sin. I got to resist what the devil's doing. I got to get stronger. But you can never get strong enough in yourself, because in yourself, you are no match for the devil. And you don't have to do this on yourself. So don't misinterpret strength, you being strong. God didn't ask you to have a strong will. He asked you to resist. He asked you to receive his power. Now, if you receive his power, it will enable your will. I mean, you got to have a will, but you can't do it on your own. I mean, you know, people trying to go through step programs, those are all fine. But if you try to do that on your own, your will is not enough. You can want to and want to and want to, but it takes the power of God. So remember the Apostle Paul. Anybody ever read any of his writings? Right? Well, if you read any of the Bible in the New Testament, you have. He was a man just like us. He was concerned about the enemy because he said, I don't want to be a castaway after I preach to others. What does that tell me? Now, if you don't think about that, you don't understand. He had some things that he dealt with that he was so concerned about that after he preached to others, he himself would fall. So it's real. It's very real. But remember that time in 2 Corinthians, we see it written down. He was going through it. And he looked up to heaven like you and I have. It's like, where y'all at up there? Can you not see I'm in trouble? Can you not see this thing is harassing me? Hello? Somebody dial 911. Somebody call prayer tower. He sought the Lord and sought the Lord and sought the Lord. And the Lord answered back. And what did the Lord say to him? He said, my grace is what? And now you've heard it. If you've come to church here and you know this, he wasn't saying put up with it. He wasn't saying, my grace is enough for you, you know, just chill out. This will be over soon. Just the season you're going through. No, he is saying, my grace. That word grace there is empowerment to stand. It is the power. So the Lord said to him, my empowerment, my power to stand against the wiles, the devices of the devil is enough. And so that's what the Lord says to us. How do we get God's grace? When you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, he'll exalt you. If you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that grace will come upon you. When you humble yourself, that grace to stand against the works of the devil. James chapter 4, verse 6. James chapter 4, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. 1 Peter 5, 5:10. All talk about standing grace. What do we got to do? What's in your arsenal? The ability to submit to God. And when you do, God gives you grace, power. That is a weapon that the devil cannot defeat. The grace of God, the standing grace of God. So you and I have to be good at walking in the standing grace. Because when you've got standing grace, you can stay. Because Jesus said that standing grace is sufficient. It's enough. So you got to walk in it. You got to walk in it. So say this. Say, Lord, give me a revelation of standing grace. So you're submitted to God. You've got the grace of God, and you resist. And in one of my favorite movies, it says this, and it's all right. Some of you will get it. Some of you won't. Resistance is not futile. And so for the 10 of you that got it, that's fine. But it's not. And that's the way you got to look at the devil. I wish I had time because I could really help some of you who understand what I'm talking about. But the enemy would love to assimilate you today into a modern thinking that gets rid of the gospel. And don't think you're beyond it, because it wears on you and they hit you with it. And it's on social media and it's on every commercial and it's everywhere you look. But you resist thinking like the world and stay thinking like God. And when the enemy comes against you, you resist him in the grace of God, and you will win every time. And we need to help people. The other thing, number two, that you have in your arsenal, easy to find, is in Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. We're going to start at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, or in front of all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. One of the things you need to note here, because you can be fully dressed. So what's in your arsenal? Spiritually, God has put before you an armor. God has put before you an armor. Pastor Rhonda was just buying one, a full set of armor that's going back in the new children's church in a beautifully lit thing. So the children, we want them to grow up knowing they are full of the armor of God. The armor of God is yours. You know, some people put theirs on every day. I think if that's what you do to remind yourself, that's great, but I don't know why you'd ever take it off. And so you need to understand what these are. Now, I could spend an hour on each one of these pieces. I don't have time. I have in the past. I think you can find them somewhere in the bookstore or on a thing. But I'm going to point some things out. Number one, it says be strong. Number one, it says be strong. And it says to put on the whole armor. So every part of this and every revelation that goes with this, you need to put it on. You need to walk in it. Number three, it says stand against the wiles of the devil. Stand against the wiles of the devil. Number four, it says again, put on the whole armor. How many of you know that you can have a revelation of one thing and not, you can have a revelation of righteousness, but maybe not have a revelation of faith or your salvation? So you need a revelation of all these pieces. You need a revelation of the rhema, of the spoken word of God, which is the sword. But you also need a revelation that the logos is what keeps the written word of God, is what keeps it all tied together. And when you have that, when you have a revelation of each one of those, so you got to put on the whole armor. And then again, it says withstand. So that tells me that I'm going to have to do something fully dressed. I'm not just dressed. You know, the Lord didn't give me that just to, you know, to look nice. He told me to stand against. He told me to withstand. And then it says this, then having done all to stand, stand. There's a lot of standing going on. There's a lot of withstanding. He said it three times. Come on, if the Lord calls, remember I said Martha, Martha? When he repeats your name twice, you need to listen. But when he repeats something like this three times, the Holy Ghost is repeating it three times within something he's saying. He said, you gotta stand against. You gotta withstand. You gotta stand against. That tells me when the enemy's coming, I've gotta take a strong stand, fully armored, because he said that three times too. Put on the whole armor. Put on the whole armor. Put on the whole armor. What? So you can withstand in the evil day. When's the evil day? It's when the devil shows up with anything that he's doing. That's the evil day. And you got to be ready. Come on, you got to be ready. How do you be ready? Have a revelation of what the armor of God is. And understand that when the devil comes, and listen to me, you don't have to do anything wrong for the devil to come. Sometimes in our circles, people think, well, if that happened to you, it's because you missed it somewhere. You got some secret sin in your life. Well, I'd get rid of all the secret sin if I were you. Don't play footsies with the devil, because you ain't playing. You ain't playing. We ain't playing. I ain't playing. You ain't playing. We're done playing, right? We're done playing. And so when the devil comes, God's grace is sufficient, and we can always withstand. So we never have to be taken out by the enemy. And then let's look at this. So number one, if we submit to God, we can resist the devil. How do we resist him? Steadfast in the faith. Number two, when the devil comes, we always got to withstand. We got to stand against. How are we going to do that? What's in your arsenal? You have a full armor. You got to see yourself. One of my favorite books on this subject is called Dress to Kill. I love the title of that book. Dress to Kill by Rick Renner, who I guess is coming sometime soon. And 2020 is not too long to wait. And so everybody say, I'm dressed to kill. What does that mean? Well, I'm going to kill everything the enemy sends my way. I'm not going to let it. And what does that mean? It means I'm fully armored with everything that God has for me, and I can successfully stand against anything the devil does. So, okay, I've got this armor on the outside. Now I want to turn to what's on the inside of that armor. You're in there. You're in there. And you are made up of, you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. So I've got to submit myself to, what's in your arsenal? How are you going to fight the enemy when he comes? And I guarantee you he's coming. And if you're in a season where everything is good, then you should be on guard, preparing, knowing that just like when Jesus was tempted by the devil, the Bible says he left him for a season. You see, Pastor Mark, you got to be careful. You're always telling everybody you got to be on guard. You got to be on guard. Come on. It doesn't mean you always live, just all stressed out all the time. But if something, you don't have to look for anything. But when something comes, you're ready. How are you going to do that? I'm going to submit myself to God. I'm going to resist the devil. I'm going to do it steadfast in the faith. I'm going to learn how to stand against. I'm going to learn how to stand against. I'm always going to stand against anything. What's in my arsenal? The ability to stand against anything the devil sends my way. How am I going to do that? I'm going to have the full armor of God on. And I'm not going to take it off. I'm going to be ready. And then, as you look at the armor, then let's go inside. Well, the first thing I got to do, spirit, soul, and body. In the spirit, then remember I talked to you about this, but I want to talk to you a little bit more. If it's important. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, out of my spirit, out of the inner man, flows the issues of my life. Then I've got to do what? Remember we talked about guarding your gates. You have an eye gate, you have an ear gate, you got a mouth gate. So what is the devil trying to do? Well, the devil's trying to throw weeds among your seeds. How does he get them in you? Through your eyes, through your ears, and through your mouth, the gates to your heart. And so I'm on guard, you're on guard at what we're seeing, what we're hearing. Jesus said, be careful what you hear and how you hear it. And it wasn't just talking about the word. Everything that you put in your eyes, your ears, and your mouth affects you in some way. What are your eyes looking at? What are your ears hearing? What is your mouth saying? I guarantee you what you're seeing, what you're hearing eventually is going to come out your wide, this is your biggest gate, your mouth gate. This will either save you or destroy you. This will either save you, the words you speak out of it, or it'll destroy you. And it's really influenced by what you see and what you hear. And so if I'm going to come against what the devil's doing, then I'm going to be on guard of my gates. This is really good, y'all. I know this is practical. I know this. I know that some of you know this. But if the enemy's coming against you, if he's coming against me, I need to be reminded of what's in my arsenal, that I don't have to put up with that. That I don't have to just yield to that. I don't have to live that way. I can. The Lord has prepared a way for me to win. I don't have to put up with sickness and disease. I don't have to put up with sin. I don't have to put up with lack. I don't have to put up with confusion. I don't have to put up with the works of my flesh. I don't have to live that way. I can have it the way God has it. And it comes by understanding that my arsenal is full. So the first thing I'm going to do is in the spirit realm, because remember, he talks about those seeds that get in, and what do? They choke out the word of God. Remember, we talked about that. They choke out the word of God. So if I can keep those seeds, the weeds out that choke the word of God and only put in the seed, then I'm growing my garden and I'm producing some 30, some 60, and 100 fold. And how does that better? How is that better? If you've ever grown a garden, whether it be a vegetable garden or a flower garden or anything, the weeds literally choke out the fruits and the vegetables and the flowers. That's what they literally do. They choke it out. And so if I can keep those things out, see, I've got this armor on, and then on the inside there's me, and I'm a spirit. I have a soul, and I live in a body. And so I got to make sure while I'm in this armor that my spirit is strong. My spirit is producing. And then I got to take care of my soul. I got to take care of my soul. And what do I got to do about my soul? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 3 talks about pulling down strongholds. So I'm living in this armor, but if I got a bunch of strongholds on the inside of me, then I can't activate my armor like I need to because my thinking is wrong. And so what I got to do is I got to pull down those strongholds. How do I do that? Take every thought captive that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. In other words, I'm going to do what Romans 12, 1 and 2. I want to get my mind renewed. I'm going to take the word of God, and I'm going to take the word and wash my mind. I'm going to take the word of God, and I'm going to be renewed. I'm going to save my mind. I'm going to restore my mind while I'm on the inside of this armor that I'm wearing. I think a lot of times people know the armor, but if the inside person that's wearing that armor is all messed up, the armor will not be effective. So I got to take care of my soul. And then I got to keep my body under. You know, the Bible says, again, in Romans 12, verse 2, 1 and 2, it talks about that I offer my body a living sacrifice. And remember, the Apostle Paul said, I keep my body under. And so we got to do something with all three parts of us. In order for our weapons to really work, in order for our arsenal to be fully effective, we got to maintain our spirit that's born again. We got to keep it full of the word of God and keep the weeds out. Number two, we got to do something with our soul, with our mind, our will, and our emotions. We got to make sure that our mind is renewed, that our will is his will, that our emotions have been healed. Number three, we got to do something with our body. We got to keep it under. Your body is not the real you. It's just a house you live in. Amen. It's what carries you around. It's what allows you to live on the earth. It is not large and in charge of you. It is meant to serve you till you are done with it and you lay it down. It is. Come on. Don't be body conscious. Be more spirit conscious. If you will let your spirits take ascendancy in your life, and you'll get your soul renewed, if you'll get your emotions healed, if you'll make your will his will, like Jesus prayed, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And then you can, there's two of you over the one of you, amen? Because your soul is the part of you that decides, are we going with the body or are we going with the spirit? And so when it's two against one, the spirit will win. And the hour we live in, we need our spirits to be in ascendancy in our life. James chapter 1. We got to take care of ourselves. Now, one of the things the devil tries to do is he tries to get us off into sin. So we're talking about, we got the armor on. We're taking care of ourselves, spirit, soul, and body. And then I wanted to put this in here, James chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. It's one of the things the devil tries to do is tempt you. For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. Okay, so let's just stop right there. Does God tempt you? Does he tempt you to sin? If you've been delivered from alcohol, does he bring a buddy by with a six-pack to see if you're doing okay? No. Oh, I could keep going. Let's go. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. But every man is tempted. So what brings the temptation? When he is drawn away with his own lust and enticed. Okay? So here's the devil. He's the tempter. So if I were the devil, I'd tempt your flesh because I know what it's made of. I know it's made from dust. I know it's susceptible. If I were the devil, I know your flesh is susceptible to sin. And in other words, the devil knew who you were before you were born again, because he used to be your God and your father, whether you like to think of it that way or not. You're either God is your father or the devil is your father. There's only two families on the earth. Choose one. Choose one. And we've all chosen. Amen? Two families. That's it. If I could just talk to the whole world about that, it'd make everything a whole lot easier. We can all be traced back to a boat with Noah in charge. And if you don't like that, we're all traced back to Adam. Like it or lump it. That's the way it is. If you believe the Bible. And we all do. I wish they all did. Two families. We've all chosen that God is our Father. So at the great white throne judgment, we're going to get judged with Jesus. We're on the winning team. Those who have not received him, Jesus, will get judged with the devil. And so, the devil knows where we came from, and he understands your flesh. Before you got a new nature, you had a fallen nature, and it sinned. You were called a sinner. Why do sinners sin? Because of their nature. You can't quit being a sinner until you get a new nature. It's impossible. No matter how strong a person's will is or moral compass, they cannot be redeemed. They cannot be righteous until they receive Jesus and get a new nature. And when you get after you get a new nature, then you got to do something about it. You got to do something about your flesh. But you really can't do anything about it until you get a new nature. But the devil knows where you come from. He knows your fallen nature. He caused it. And so he works at it. He's not stupid. He knows our weaknesses. He knows mine. He knows yours. He knows what irritates you. He knows what personalities of people really rub you the wrong way. He knows on a day that you're already having a bad day, he knows exactly the person to send your way and what to inspire them to say to you. But, so what is the devil doing? He's tempting you. He's enticing the lust of your flesh. The works of your flesh. Found in Galatians chapter 5. My first book I wrote, No Longer Shackled, How to Be Free of Sin's Control, goes through a lot of those. If you really have never studied those, if you take them out of the King James Version, you will figure out that it has a lot to deal with what you're dealing with right now and your flesh. So the devil does what? We're talking about your arsenal, but when you know this, then I put in my arsenal, because he comes with his temptation to come to tempt the lusts of my flesh. So this is what I can do. I can't keep the devil from coming, but I can really put my body under control. In other words, if I know the lusts of my flesh are there and I know what I deal with the most, I can make sure what my eyes are seeing, what my ears are hearing, what my mouth is saying. I can make sure of whatever's going on, because everybody has lusts of their flesh. But how many of you know you don't really need somebody else to tell you what your biggest problems are? Even though you got people all around you trying to tell you your biggest problems, but you know your biggest problems, right? And it's good to have friends and people who can help you with them. I'm not saying that. So I can't control the temptation coming, but I can control my response to it. But if I don't control my response to it, when the temptation comes and when the lusts of my flesh get together, the Bible says in the next verse, something happens. What happens? Every man is tempted when he's drawn away with his own lust and enticed. And when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. When sin is finished, it brings forth death. So the devil comes with the temptation. Here's the lust of my flesh. If the devil can get the two to conceive, and that's exactly what it means. It's like a man and a woman coming together. If he can get them to conceive, it produces something. Like a man and a woman come together, they produce a child. When temptation comes together with the lust of your flesh, it conceives and produces sin. And when sin is born, when sin grows up, it produces death. The devil ain't playing, and we shouldn't either. Let's not see how close we can walk to the world. Act like the world, talk like the world. What's in your arsenal? In my arsenal is the knowledge to know if I do this, he can't do that. If I keep my flesh under, I don't care how much he tempts me, there's no conceiving ever going on. That's a weapon. That's in your arsenal. You know, the devil can't make you do anything. The devil's a defeated foe. The word of God is stronger. I gotta hurry up, all right? So let's move on. You can see I'm a little passionate about that because I want to help people. So anybody that comes to you and says, this is hopeless, I'm helpless, I can't get over this, that's a lie. Born again, get them filled with the Holy Ghost, get the word into them. Listen, you all know this, but how many of you know one of the weapons that we have is the sword of the Spirit? And I want to leave you with this one, because Revelation 12:11 says, how do we overcome, y'all? How we overcome? We overcome by the word of our testimony. So that word testimony, the word of our testimony, is not you rehearsing what God has done, because it's rehearsing what God has done is something you've already won at. You've already overcome. So that we overcome. Overcome is it's present and future. We overcome, so it's present, and it's kind of an ongoing thing. We overcome, how? By the blood of Jesus. Anybody grateful for the blood of Jesus? Yes. How many of you know the blood of Jesus is what destroyed the works of the devil? Yes. Are you grateful? You make much about the blood will make much about you. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood, we didn't win. Without the shedding of blood, we'd have to go to hell. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. I'm grateful for the blood. I'm grateful for the blood. I'm grateful for the blood. And the Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word. I had a pastor friend that said it like this, and the amount of word in your testimony. I like that. So what? Because what you're doing, you overcome. We have a test. I know back in the old Pentecost, they used to have testimony meetings where they would get up and tell what the Lord has done. But a real good testimony meeting would be you saying what the word says about it when you're going through something. Because that is how you overcome. You're not lying when you say what the Bible says. That's the point you begin to tell the truth. You don't talk about what you're going through. You talk about what God has done. I don't know if you've noticed anything, but one of the things, I usually don't rehearse what we're going through. Some people don't even know when I'm going through because I don't want to talk about when I'm going through. I'll tell you about it when I'm done. You'll hear me confess the word while I'm going through because the word of God is what always causes victory. Yes. Are you having victory? Yes. Amen. You should be able to, the way you and I should tell someone's in a battle is there ought to be a lot of word, a lot of sword flying coming out of them. Amen. But how many of you know this? Jesus in Luke chapter 4, the Bible says he was led into the wilderness and the devil came. And the devil came to do what? He came to tempt him. And Jesus, I don't have time to go through all of them, but what did Jesus answer? He answered, "It is written." He answered that three times. And on the third time, the devil went away for a season. And this is what I want to tell you. You can't answer "it is written" if you don't know what is written. You can't answer what is written. I think Pastor Mark said, that's not good enough. I thought I heard Joyce say. No, you have to have a revelation of this yourself. One of the things I'm trying to do with Daily Bread is to get you one scripture. How many of you know at the end of this year, you should have 52 scriptures committed to memory, commit really in you? How many of you know if you had 52 swords naturally speaking, it'd be all right? When rhema is a word from the word double-edged sword is distamos. Stamos is the sword, but the die is two. And what it really means is two-worded. And that's where you hear me say this before, and I prayed this out a long time ago, and then I studied it out. He say, we say. He said is one edge, but you got to get your edge on it. And until you make it yours, and it comes out of your mouth, then he say, we say. And so Jesus was wielding a double-edged sword. Even though he was the word made flesh, he spoke the word, and he had an accurate word for the devil every time. How you know the devil loves to wrest or manipulate the scriptures? The devil knows what the word says, and he can mess it up just enough to confuse you. But when you know the word, because remember, go back to Eve. Remember what she did? She added to what God said. And what did the devil question her with? Did God say? Did God say? And then he twisted it. God knows that the day you eat of that, he lied to her. You'll become like gods. They were already gods. I'm telling you, you and I have everything we need, but we have a full arsenal of weapons. And one of the greatest weapons you've got is "it is written." And when you know "it is written," you just see yourself in the realm of the spirit. You're getting out a sword and you're chasing the devil off. And what I mean by that, you would chase sickness and disease off. You would chase poverty off. You would chase confusion off. You would chase off stress. You would chase off things that are going on in your family, in your career, in your life. We can chase off things that are going on in this nation. We have a full arsenal of the things of God. Amen. And with that arsenal, we always win. Come on, you are more than a conqueror, an overcomer in this life. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Amen. He always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. Well, because I want it, and I'm going to do it anyway. There is a man named Shammah. One of David's mighty men, and he got tired of the devil winning. And one year when the lentils were ready, here came the Philistines, which always represent the devil. They came up with a whole troop, and everybody ran off because they were afraid of the devil, afraid of the enemy. But he had planted those peas, he had weeded those peas, he had watered those peas, and he was ready for some black-eyed peas and cornbread. And they were coming after his peas, and he said, "Not this time. Not this year. This is my harvest, and you cannot have it. And he stood in the middle of his pea patch, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he slew a whole troop, whether that's 200 or 400 guys. That is movie worthy. That is movie worthy. That's going to be awesome to see replayed. And he won because the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. I'm telling you, when you're tired of the devil taking what's yours, you will stand up in the middle of your pea patch. You will stand up in the middle of your life, and you will say, not this time. Not this time. Greater is he that is in me than he in this world. I will have the victory that is mine in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And even though, so I told you what the devil's trying to do, but I just reminded you today of what's in your arsenal. What's in your arsenal? God has given you the armor. He's given you the ability to resist, to stand against, to withstand. He's given you his written word, which will become a rhema word, which is the sword of the Spirit coming out of your mouth. And just like our elder brother, our Savior, Jesus has taught us how to win.
We hope you were inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org, check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWOLMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know him so you too can make him known.